this is Ian Williams, President of the Foreign Press Association in New York, and it might be timely to remind people I was formerly the President of the UN Correspondents Association, of which I've been a member for some 30 years as well. And I've written several books, including this one, and innumerable articles on the UN. I covered the UN during both the Iraq wars, during the Balkan wars, so I'm well aware of what a flawed institution it is. But there's some things that people overlook. One is that two of the founder members of the United Nations were Ukraine and Belarus. Stalin insisted that Ukraine and Belarus be recognized as sovereign member states of the United Nations. And they have had delegations continuously in New York since then. Ukraine had a delegation in the UN. It was even on the Security Council several times before the fall of the Soviet Union. It's just worth remembering now because the president of Russia seems to have forgotten about this and decided that now Ukraine actually has an army and an elected government and other appurtenances of a state. It's no longer sovereign. The second point is that, above all, the veto. Russia does not have a veto in the UN Charter. They kept invoking the UN Charter for reasons why people shouldn't intervene to stop their pet murderers massacring people in Nicaragua or Venezuela or Syria. They kept saying, oh, no, sovereign states. However, Russia is not in the UN Charter as a member of the Security Council. What happened in 1991 when the fall of the Soviet Union was that basically they just took over the position that the Soviet Union formally occupied. There was not a vote on it. There wasn't a resolution on it. There's no change in the charter because changing the charter is too difficult. And we have to say that the British were complicit in this as well because Sir David Hannay, the then British ambassador, and others, France, for example, both thought that any revision of the UN Charter, their Security Council positions would be under suspicion. So they were prepared to go along. And I believe the American permanent representative at the time said that Sir David Hannay sneaked into the Security Council chamber and changed the nameplate from the USSR to Russia late one night when no one was looking. That's about the size of it. That's a bit simplistic, but under the UN Charter, Russia does not have a veto. The Soviet Union does. No Soviet Union, no veto. So it's a sort of one of those simple solutions. We now have a position where the veto, allegedly veto claiming Russia, is sitting on a Security Council that's sitting ineffectually in face of one of the grossest breaches of the UN Charter perpetrated since 1945. The invasion of another state is precisely what the UN Charter was set up to prevent. It was done so with memories of Poland and the other Ethiopia, Japan and China. The UN was set up to remedy those defects in the League of Nations. That was the first thing that was in the Charter. It's the big principle behind it all, to stop international wars. And what Vladimir Putin has now done in the Ukraine is a direct violation of that. There are others, but I can get to that later. So it's my sort of humble suggestion, and I believe the Ukrainian ambassador actually alluded to something similar at the Security Council the night of the invasion, that they should examine the conditions under which Russia is holding that seat. And I think with such an egregious breach of the UN Charter and international law, I think it would be fit if the Secretary General and the President of the General Assembly got together and decided not to accept the Russian credentials because they weren't really the Soviet Union and they weren't mentioned in the Charter. It would send a big signal to the wilting pride. And we know that Putin is sensitive. He is very sensitive to Russian claims. If they're rebutted like this, it might have an effect. And more to the point, it would allow the majority of the UN and the Security Council that find the invasion of Ukraine abhorrent to take action about it. I don't know what type of action. I mean, officially it should be military action, but I don't think so. But they can take some action whatsoever. And we have to remember that part of the reason why South Africa eventually collapsed was the United Nations was imposing sanctions on it, despite, let us remember, the US, French, and British vetoes of such actions. But eventually, the United Nations took action about South Africa, and the South Africans crumbled in the face of an international boycott. So these are things worth bearing in mind as we come forward. Is there a UN Charter left to protect? I'd like to think so. It's a very pragmatic document, despite its high founding principles. And you look to yourself and think, wow, look at all the others. And, you know, these are barrack room lawyers who are on this one. The US was in Vietnam at the invitation of the South Vietnamese government. Spurious invitation. They set it up, we know. Iraq was a direct violation of the UN Charter when Saddam Hussein invaded another member state, Kuwait, and occupied it. Did that sound similar to Ukraine? Because even Russia voted for action against Saddam Hussein and Iraq over that. So that's where that one was covered. The second Iraq invasion was illegal. Kofi Annan said so. Everybody said so. Everyone except Tony Blair and George W. Bush. But the US and UK did try to pretend it was UN action because of previous UN resolutions. I think the distinctive thing about this is it completely flouts the United Nations Charter. The Russians decided they couldn't stretch the terms as far as that, and they've just casually ignored it. So what they've effectively done is ripped up the UN Charter. And that's why I think it's entirely fitting that the rest of the United Nations should say, if you don't want to abide by the Charter, we don't want you in there, and certainly not in the body that enforces it. So my invitation to all of you on the Security Council and in the General Assembly, strip Russia of its spurious fake credentials. It's pretending to be an imperial power. It's pretending to be the Soviet Union, and it ain't. So go to it, people. Make sure that someone pays for this barbarism that takes us right back to the 30s. Thank you. This is Ian Williams, President of the Foreign Press Association.